So we are here in Tampereen teatterikesä. Me and Tuomas, Mira and Tuomas. So
from Esitysradio.
From Esitysradio, yes. We saw a piece called Retrospective yesterday by. Can you say your names? Because I'm not going to attempt even.
The group is called Rebel Rebel.
Yes.
And my name is Ragnhildur.
And I'm Snæbjörn.
Great. Lovely to have you here. And could you tell us what the performance is, just for people who haven't seen it?
Yeah, so the performance is about a writer, who is Snæbjörn, and his failed attempt to write novels. So things that he hasn't finished, and decided to do a dance piece, like finish the novels in a dance, and translate the novels as a dance piece. Yeah. And there's a dance vocabulary, so that's the struggle of the performance, like and the research of Snæbjörn's body and then different ideas of creation and life itself as an artist, and intervene with this theme of trying to translate your own work that you haven't been able or haven't. Finished, actually, which is quite difficult when you're always like he said, that he always like visits these ideas when he goes on stage, and of course it's difficult that you when you have not been able to finish them.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe
I would call it like it's an autobiographical documentary piece that's pretending to be a dance show, kind of.
Why pretending?
I'm not really a dancer, and so I like calling me a dancer. It feels almost like I'm mocking real dancers, which I'm not. I do it because I truly like admire and I admire contemporary dance and dance in general. But I'm just not able to. I don't think I can. Call anything that I'm dancing in, like dance, which, you know, to be honest.
Why is that?
I don't know, I mean, you know, people that are actually professional dancers, they have been studying dance since they were like 4, and, you know, and they've perfected their body, and they really like, you know, when they're 20, they've been dancing for like 16 years or something, and you know, and then you know they push themselves to the extreme, and yeah, I don't think that's fair to compare myself to them. So we're just, you know, making theater.
But still, it's like it's a performance. I mean, he has this. We of course in the middle of the show he starts to talk more because that's his language and not the body language. So the frustration is also there, so like not to be able to be a dancer and really finish the job, kind of. So
Is it also about the vocabulary? Like I was thinking about it myself, and I heard you talk about translation. Mm-hmm. And when you translate from a language to another, it's good to know the languages, like have skills in using the languages. So it sounds like you would like to know the vocabulary of like the tradition of dance in order to perform as a dancer.
Yeah, because I think dancing and performing dancing or performing a dance or being a professional at dancing, like these are all very different things. And I wondered during the performance yesterday what was your relation to any of this, because you made some quite strong claims about dancing or what dance is, or you bring in the topic of good and bad, what is good dancing and what is bad, and it made me watch your performance through that as well. Mm-hmm. And I found it a bit upsetting because I don't want, like, these are not the things I want to pay attention to.
Yes.
And then you yourself placing value on your dancing, it was difficult to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we we do force the audience to see it in a certain way by just like announcing, yes, now we're expressing these things, and so you have to look for the symbols and signs already, and you know, and not be announcing that I'm not a good dancer. You'll have to watch it like. Through, I mean, I could have made a different announcement, and then you would have seen the show completely differently. Yeah.
But I think it's like because he talks about the beginning that he was writing this first novel, and he really liked it because he did it as an amateur, something that you love doing what you do. Yeah, and then I think that's kind of the way we like the dance is for Snipert. I mean, it's something that he really wants to do from his heart, and that's why it starts to be about sincerity in performing, which is kind of strange to try to get, and like try to get this kind of I don't think we're trying to like tell people how really to that if it's good or bad or something, but more like he's not a dancer and he's trying at his best because he wants to try different ways of expressing himself. And then of himself, and then if he can't do it in writing, then what then? Like if I can't express myself in Icelandic, I would go to English, which is more my language today actually. So it's like this different kind of expression and how you talk to people, and then like why dancing? Why is not that not just like another language? So, like translating from Icelandic to dance instead of trying to translate from Icelandic to English or Finnish or whatever. So I think that was like our thoughts about this whole thing and why he wants to do a dance show. If I make sense.
And how did you end up with the sort of sign? Language or a kind of mimicry in the beginning when you even explained that this movement means this character in the book or so on.
I think like we admire ballet a lot, and in ballet they were experimenting with moves like this in the beginning, like moves that are symbolic. So you had to, and sometimes if you go to these ballet shows you have these books almost that explain how you're supposed to read them and understand them. So like this means this means that. So like you can't enter the show unless you're a little bit prepared. So you have to like explain a little bit the language of the performance. And I kind of like that. And actually I think it's also inspired by No Theater, which is not strictly speaking either theater or dance, but like a different tradition with different roots. And that's when I studied that for a while, I discovered my true limits as a performer, because you know, I was we were both in Japan. I was an exchange student there, and she was just doing some art and some shows, and I went into this club where they were studying from a real like no sensei, like, and they. And he was with a family who had been doing no theater for like 300-400 years, so, and like had a proper theater complex of his own and his family, and his father was like a great master. He was like, he was like 30 or something when he was teaching us, the university students, and he had, you know, started to learn the moves at the age of 4, like kind of, so his body was just made for doing this. But and we were, of course, like complete amateurs. So he would show us this move, and we would just supposed to go on stage and imitate it. And it's really hard because you do this once a week, and you have no instructions. You can't see anything on the internet. It's all like kept like a sort of secret. And you're like, and I found that I never made any progress at all. Like,
and how he was.
I don't know. I could not remember the week later. Even though I went to the park and I went through the moves, I was just as clumsy as the week before. But I learned a lot, like about the storytelling, because I learned like that there were moves like this, has this kind of
raising
meaning,
hand
raising
up and
the
down.
Hand up and down, and like putting the feet forward, and that I was like telling, oh yes, now you're telling the story of this courtesan, and I thought, this is beautiful, because I am dancing like, I'm like a man, dancing this courtesan from the 14th century, and she like is missing her husband or something, and I'm expressing this through this symbolic dance.
But it's, I think it's similar to the theater in that days in Europe. I mean, we had this kind of, I don't know it at all, but I know one expression where you have your four fingers and you have it outside and you put it to your heart. That's supposed to mean something. And that is like a European theater. So we just like, we separated dance and theater, while the Japanese didn't. So they are still like, they have it, I mean, of course they have
European,
yeah, of course. But
yeah.
Like their traditional theater is still like this kind of dance theater and this chorus that the choreography comes from, and so it's
yes. So in the first part of the show, we experiment with this kind of like symbolism. I mean, it's always going to be really simple. And
yeah, I want to say because of the ballet, because we're talking about that. I think it's us looking for something, because in Iceland we don't have any tradition of dancing. And so I think it's us trying to look for the tradition, like where is the Icelandic ballet, something like that. So I think where is our sign language or like body language?
We're creating a tradition from the start.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's really interesting to have a country with no traditional dancing.
Yeah.
But so sad.
Well, I think there was a dance, at least in some part, but then we became Lutheran and we were forbidden to dance and sing.
Okay.
But we could write stories, so
the tradition has been cut.
Yes.
It's like 300 like years. You could only drink and tell stories.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Why we do that today.
Yeah.
I think most cultures find ways of like cheating these religious norms, like the Irish dancing, like don't lift your arms and you're
exactly
hop in a certain way, and I think it's probably similar in Finland as well to an extent, because we are also a country with a like Lutheran attitudes, but still we have these like
you have folk dance?
Yes.
I think we had this because the church said that if you dance you're going into the elves. Something like that. Yeah, you're taken by the elves. Then they changed this kind of really beautiful natural belief into something that is super bad, and they made us like, if you're taken by the elves, that's when you start dancing, and then that's bad because then you're going crazy. So all these kind of circles around dance is just like insanely bad. So I think that's also like it's from this tradition where we start to create our dance shows. It's really complicated.
That's quite traumatic.
Yeah, exactly.
As a people.
Yeah. So welcome to the world. Yeah. Welcome your dancing.
But that's like we're gonna try to make a dance show this winter, which is just about like finding the core of Icelandic ballet or like the Icelandic tradition.
Yeah.
I'm writing this. Snæbjörn has already written like a script.
Yeah, usually we start with a text, obviously, but
I started the dance and I tried to make him dance. But that's the struggle. But we have this kind of script, like the old ballet, the romantic ballet have this kind of fairy tale, and that's the fairy tale that we have at the moment is about like how Icelanders found their dance history in the ground by like digging it up. And
so it's kind of it's a fake, like we kind of start the show by explaining to people about this archaeological finding that we did, which is fake, but it's gonna be like, oh, we found these Vikings and they were wearing these dresses and they have these horns to go from that we think they may have used for music, and then we'll just start the show and we'll be like, so we probably think that the steps were like this, and so we'll recreate the Viking dance, but actually there is a real archaeological discovery where they did find like some horns that look like a bit like didgeridoos. And so, and we know because we have some pictures that people were dancing, so we can maybe say like, okay, at least we know they lifted up the leg like this. We just have to go from there, and we have to make some didgeridoo sounds.
Yeah, that's the problem with performance. You can never really write them down, though they try to write down dance. It's quite difficult.
I find like I think failure wasn't written in the performance that I saw yesterday, and it wasn't in any of the promotional material either. But now in the press conference, you mentioned failure, and I think it makes so much more sense to me now to know about it, that you chose such, in a weird way, abstract and concrete language of or language, whatever vocabulary of dancing, to express writing, because it is a failed attempt from the start.
Yes.
And then also because I was wondering in the performance, it felt like how you moved was very much formal and shapely, and it didn't feel like. It felt very clearly like a language that you are trying to interpret for us.
Yes.
And personally, it was really frustrating.
You can imagine how it was to choreograph him.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, it is beautiful in a way because we made most of this improvisation, where he like improvised something from like some kind of theme in the book or for some chapter or something, because like I said before, like I didn't know about these books at all when we started working on them, and then he doesn't have them, so we don't have it written.
Oh, I have two of them.
Yeah, exactly. But the rest is
book 5 we have somewhere. And
I know that, but most of them I don't know.
So you destroyed?
I've destroyed some of them.
And some of them got lost. Yeah.
I mean, the one I wrote as a 12-year-old is just lost. You know,
that's on a piece of paper.
Nobody destroyed it. It's just somewhere. You know,
your mom is probably keeping it in a box somewhere.
Yeah, probably, something like that. Yeah.
But it's really like it's an honest attempt for Snipe to really want to dance, and it's also frustrating for him to not be able, because for people who are like a dancer like me, I started to dance when I was 3, and then like you learn this kind of, it's just like learning to talk, you learn this, how to remember the movements when you do them, and how and your body and yourself kind of. It's not something in the brain. It's the vocabulary of the muscles.
Yeah.
So it's totally different, and he has just never like done it like at all. So it takes time, and making a performance in 3 months or longer, it's like it takes longer than that to learn to dance. But he's really trying. So though he has this kind of strength. Yeah, it is sufferable for him also.
Yeah, I think you can see the struggle.
Yeah.
And then I think you can see the struggle very much in that I feel like you don't really commit to the dancing. Like, every time, or like, I think it takes a while to start reading your intentions and your body as something else than the symbol, and then you don't really stick with it. At any moment, and it's interrupted by the speaking, or interrupted, whatever, like it's cut by the speaking.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I never really get to look at you, and I don't get to learn the logics of your body and your movements and why you might be doing it.
I think that's the struggle of the whole thing. Exactly. It's like the struggle between the languages.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes like that, then we start to think about it as a like a failure or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's why the dramaturgy of the show is like that, because it's that was our struggle in the making of the show. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fundamentally, it's about communication also, because you're trying to communicate these ideas. Can you communicate them through dance? I mean, can you communicate them through words even?
Yeah.
Like, is that possible? Like,
And also about this kind of not finishing stuff, and how can you not finish a performance? But you still present it.
But I feel very isolated, like I'm so frustrated in the most parts where I'm like, you know, I didn't quite, like people didn't quite get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, and in the end, we turn off the lights and I just dance, and then I'm just dancing for myself. And I think that's probably the part that people can sense, get the best feeling, probably, you know.
Yeah, I have the kind of the same experience, because I also am not a dancer by education, but I have danced in two performances or where it has been named dancing.
Yeah.
And what has helped me in those was that both we were working with some like inner techniques, like somatic techniques, where I can only concentrate in like my inner world, and I don't have to think about what it looks like.
Yeah.
And another thing also, that they were not solos, so there was something like communicated between me and other dancers, which I could also immerse into and sort of forget the kind of outer technique, or how would I explain, what the movements kind of technically are. Like more like just like this hand is just like a water. I can live with that.
Yeah. But then you do ask for help from the audience.
Yeah.
And I think there were many points of potentially really really open communication, and it was such a disappointment that it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at one point I really wanted to join you on the stage, and you're like, I don't know what to do. I felt like,
yeah, we have been thinking about it a lot. I mean, we had discussions just like now about, oh, we should get some people on stage, and it feels silly to, it doesn't feel appropriate for this show to end with this clapping, and you know, instead it should be something else, it should be a conversation. It should come and like, okay, so did you understand? Okay, what do you, like, how can we solve this problem together?
Yeah.
I also wanted to say something many times, but then I felt that I will break your performance if I say something. I didn't like really feel that I could, but I wanted, like, when you were talking to the blaming the audience, and and I would say that it's not like that.
Yeah, it's so unfair. It's so unfair towards the audience. The show is like really like, we're not being nice.
No, because we're not being nice to ourselves either, and our
but
creative.
But it's something
process.
To think about. You know, like should we involve people more? Like,
we've been like, this is our dilemma. I think also like, because the show is quite fragile, and like, I like the idea of people to comment, and in this run-throughs when we invite our friends, they have been commenting, and it doesn't matter. I mean, so it's really open in that way, but it's also this kind of settings of theater that's difficult, doesn't feel inviting to really comment, and you feel like you're ruining something, or you don't know, because you don't know how the show is. So
we started to make the acting worse than in the beginning, because we were so afraid that people will walk out when we break up the show in the part three, which has happened. And when we had friends for rehearsal and we started doing this, I can't continue like this, and we're just doing Little Three on stage, we have to do something different. They start commenting immediately, like, okay, yeah, I see the problems, maybe you should try so this or that, you know, it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
But we have got like one theater critic in Iceland totally misunderstood and thought it was literally happening, like, saw that I stopped dancing. She was like, are you alright, Seventh Way, you're not dancing? And I'm like, oh, we can't continue like this, you know, this is just literature, we have to do something different. And she was like, wrote in the newspaper, was like furious, like, oh my god, they have not even finished the piece and they have they just show us this and like what is going on, and then just the rest of the show is improvised.
Yeah, then they just continue and they don't know what they're doing. And
but that's really good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Really it was, I think, the best critic we could get.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst for the people to come. I mean, not many people would maybe want to see this kind of show, but I don't know. I think we are like trying to challenge ourselves in a way of how we perform, and like what is a performance. We ask ourselves a lot this kind of where does it start, where does it end, where can we invite people. Like we are always in this kind of questions amongst ourselves. So I think if we are trying to challenge ourselves, we could challenge the audience also and open up this theater space, which is so formal and insanely strict in a way.
I didn't find it challenging. I think because you were being so vulnerable on the stage and you were expressing it very explicitly that you're lost and you need help and you want support and whatever. Like I wouldn't have felt confronted. I don't think.
No, it's not supposed to be confronting. It's just like what I was thinking about. It's just like the umgjörð, hvernig það var enskuð.
As a structure, I guess.
The structure of the theater, like setting. Mm. I think that's more.
Yeah,
for sure. More of meaning. Like not the performance itself. It's not supposed to be provocative in any way. It's just like an honest attempt.
How about we should try it today? That after I spit in my face and I say that it's terrible, and we talk about the sincerity. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should talk to the audience again. And we should like have. Did you think it was sincere? You know.
Mm. Yeah, we can try it.
And then we should just ask them what we should do next. Mm. Like at least there will be like kind of involvement.
Mm, yeah.
Right. Today. Nice.
Yeah. That'd yeah. Be nice. I really wish I could see it again so I could. I would know how to play the piece.
You're not invited. No. You know it already.
Yeah, it's fake. It's all.
They know it all.
It's all actually, do you know what they're doing?
Yeah,
they're
Or you can interrupt them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you can just come on stage. I mean, I love this feeling when I'm in the audience group and I want to go on stage.
Yeah.
I think I think for me as an audience, it's the most beautiful feeling you get. And I think I think we should be more allowed to like interrupt theater shows because that's how it is in the beginning. It's a discourse between the public and the artist. So
yeah, but then I think for me, and we were discussing this yesterday, like how being a professional also stops you from doing that, and then maybe
exactly.
Like for different reasons, and then being unprofessional, you don't maybe feel confident to do that. I don't know.
That's the economy of art, which
exactly.
is horrible.
Yeah,
and you have to deliver something that is a concrete thing. I think it's also in the show this kind of circle of what is and what it all is and how we are supposed to behave and how this product is always demanding of us.
Yeah,
and how it's kind of for me I think it's disappearing. I think in a way.
I mean but it's this piece is quite anti-economic though. Because it's quite
totally uneconomic.
I mean, it's just we're trying to do everything so that it doesn't cost anything or like reduce anything. So it's just we could perform it in a small container or in a bedroom or like in a basement. So we could, and I think it's like better, like the smaller and more condensed it is.
But this is the ultimate art product. Like you can take it anywhere with no technology. Like this is the ultimate wish. Easily touring, not expensive. Like this is the ultimate art product. Like from my perspective.
Yeah, but that's also like our comment on the art. Like at least the festival producing our performance today, which is kind of. The shows with two people only, minimum technical, and like, this is it. No costumes, nothing. It's just easy, cheap, and that's how I think. Like, at least dance shows have been like produced in this kind of manner. You're dancing in your jeans because you wear your jeans tomorrow. It's like, so you don't have to bring another suitcase for your whole installation on stage. But then it's also super interesting when you show work in a festival setting, because earlier yesterday I saw Car Baby, which was a solo show by Desiree Birch, and that was very much dealing with race.
Yeah.
And race is something that you need to deal with before you get to anywhere else. Uh-huh. And then it was really strange to see a show afterwards that could be like condensed to saying that it was a white man's struggle to do artistic work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then these two created a very strange balance in my mind.
I can imagine.
That's yeah, I think that maybe in festivals you should also have a curated suggestions on what to watch after one another.
Oh yeah, true.
It, like,
but I think it's also like we have had a lot of discussion about that, like, because I just think I'm not saying like I'm not being like I'm yeah, now I'm like excusing myself before I'm speak, but I think we should not like think this kind of thing that the white man should not be like able to do, because we have had like discussion about why the white man is on stage and I'm not there, and like this kind of like why he is having a struggle while like the whole like yeah other ethnics are having more struggles. But then it's like, but we cannot like blame the whole, of course they have it better than everybody, but
I mean,
still
we get
it's like
to
we cannot
complain about nothing as well, you know.
Yeah,
we can complain,
but
about
I think it's so. I just like
complain.
I'm yeah, exactly. I'm like excusing everything before I say it, but I think we should not like,
I think we should stop letting white men perform just for a year.
Okay.
Just to see what happens.
That would be great though.
Can you imagine? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just
it's
like
a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or direct.
Then we should.
Oh yes, direct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should
actually,
like,
that would be more powerful. Like, no white male directors for 1 year.
Yeah. Or creators. Yeah. Festival managers.
Yeah.
Or just like everywhere. Like all white males should just be unemployed for 1 year.
Yeah. Try it.
Like everywhere. Mm. Like the whole community of white men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
It would change things.
I think so, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not saying that you're,
no,
like you shouldn't be doing this, but I think it created a very strange.
Exactly. But it's also like how we look at the world, and if we want to look at it as like how it is, or as I mean, of course, I come from Iceland where only white people live, so which is awful.
Mm.
And so I have totally different understanding of immigrants and stuff. But we've been living abroad, so I think I have
like. It's like Finland.
I think they have more like.
It's more
colored people
in Finland.
I've seen more
so
black people here than in Iceland.
Okay.
In Tampere.
Yes.
In
totally.
Tampere.
In Iceland, it's like, whoa, black people, nice. And it's like, yeah, you see it once a month maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's really we have Polish people.
You're exaggerating. But not much.
I think maybe also the difference between the pieces was also what sort of space they are referring to outside of the work.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When Desiree's work was very much, it was very much of things outside of the theatre space and outside of what we are dealing with and about
political power
on a much larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you propose, it's a lot more condensed and concise,
personal. I haven't seen the other show, but I can say
yeah.
I wish I'd seen it though.
Yeah, we made a recording with her yesterday, so you can listen to that.
Great.
Yeah. Have you seen any other shows on the festival at all?
No.
No, we haven't had time.
We were just preparing yesterday, but we will go see something.
Yeah, after the show today.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we have time. We finish at 4 and then we're just gonna watch.
Mm.
Great.
And you're still writing?
Yeah. I write.
He has actually published some books.
Yeah. Not everything I did has failed.
Yeah.
Some of it is quite nice. Yeah.
But does it mean that if it's published, it's not a failure?
And yeah, I mean, I guess you could publish failures. I mean, but
I think it's more strict in the.
No, I think like fail, like it's successful if you just finish something, kind of like.
Okay.
I think that I don't have like a high bar of success. Just finish it. You know, that's fine.
And show it to someone.
Yeah, show it to someone. Then you have done something. Mm. You know, it's really hard to write something for a whole year, and then you're like, no, I can't. This is not good. I can't, and I can't go and be proud and let somebody have it. I'll just have to start doing something else in the beginning, and you know.
Mm. And that's also like the way of like the different art forms.
How
the process of the different art forms. I mean.
Yeah, it would be very radical to like cancel a performance, like a premiere.
Not appear. Not appear. Yeah. Like not maybe cancel, but just not come.
Yeah.
I've been fantasizing about this so much.
Yeah.
Next performance.
Yeah.
To the ballet one, we're just not sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have this great idea for a show, which is so conceptual that you can't see anything.
Yeah, that's our second show that we're gonna make this.
Because we just read the other day that we have finally detected gravity waves, so they now know how the pulse of gravity, like
how
they
can hear it
move through everything, and you're like, wow, so we can actually now dance gravity. And then, where is the gravity? It's in a black hole. Great. Mm. So we take the stage and we paint it all black. And we wear these ninja costumes, and then we turn off the lights, and we do the gravity. And you know, this could be like we could be mocking the audience because there might actually be no one there, of course. But you know, there's this idea that there's something happening that you can't see. Mm.
And then, say that show is so conceptual you can't see it.
Can't see it. Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to reading the reviews of this one.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's gonna happen.
Yeah. We will invite the same critic as last.
Please do. Yeah. She can be your house.
Yeah. We can translate it to Finnish.
Oh. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. To me, it doesn't sound like conceptual. It's more like very visceral because if you can't see anything, then you have to be very sensitive to sense like it on other ways what's happening in the room and. Yeah,
like I guess
very bodily.
I guess it depends how you take the proposition.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
It is personal.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes.
How open people
are.
Okay,
I will take it like this.
Yeah. Exactly.
I wonder how you can make people feel gravity. I mean, we could like maybe let people have something, like give them jackets that have something in the pocket that's quite heavy, and the chair should be like kind of soft so that you sink into them, and you just feel very heavy. It could be something like that.
But yeah, I mean, you can feel the gravity in a swing very clearly.
Oh yeah.
Or then some autistic children wear these like weight vests at school, so they feel more calm and still. Oh, this is what they need in theatres, I think, in general.
Oh yeah,
like this vest,
or someone like laying on top of you.
No, I don't need this.
I like
that. Well, they have theatres like that.
Yeah.
On top of you.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Are we like closing up?
Yeah, I think we need to let you go because you have another performance.
Yeah,
today.
We have to go prepare.
Yeah, maybe take a walk. I'm still quite tired. Shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
For having me.
Like really nice to talk to you.